Is chivalry dead? What separates men from boys? And how do you balance being a man with being vulnerable? These are the questions that we're going to answer on today's Ask a Man on the Manlyhood Mancast.
It's time for Ask a Man on the Manlyhood Mancast. If you've got a question, send it to us at manlyhood.com/ask.
Hey fellas, grab your calendars because we've got an event coming up that you do not want to miss. So October 28th, which is a Saturday of 2023, from 5 o'clock to 8, we are going to relax and smash right on Minard Run in Bradford, Pennsylvania. It's an axe throwing place, and it's going to be our Manlyhood Season 7 launch party. We are celebrating the fact that we've been running for 10 years. We're celebrating that this is the launch of our 7th season, and we're celebrating over 700,000 downloads, well on our way to 1 million downloads. So get pumped for a killer night with hanging out with the guys, good times, and axe throwing. It's going to be great. So the folks at Relax and Smash are giving us a fantastic deal. Normally it costs 15 or 20 bucks if you want to throw. They're going to let us do it for $5 a person. And there's going to be a food truck on hand as well. So if you want to throw some axes, grab some dinner, hang out with the guys, and have a good time, that's what we're going to be doing on October 28th. From 5 to 8 p.m. So, yeah, it's going to be great. Bring your friends, invite your neighbors. Let's go party in style so that we can kick off this season 7 of the Manlyhood Mancast. Again, that's the Manlyhood Mancast Season 7 launch party, and it's happening on October 28th, 2023, from 5 to 8 at Relax and Smash on Minard Run in Bradford, PA. Listen, even if you're from out of town, this is worth coming into town for because we're going to have a good time. So come join us and celebrate together. See you guys there.
This is the Manlyhood Mancast.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Manlyhood Mancast. I'm your host, Josh Hatcher, and today we are going to answer your questions. That's what this Ask a Man segment is about. And so today's questions are coming from responses that we got in the Manlyhood Man Cave, which is our private Facebook group. You can join that and just send us a request, answer some questions, and we'll let you in the group if you're a man. And you can show up and let's ask questions and let's answer each other's questions. And so, by the way, if you have an answer that you think is better than mine, hop in the man cave and share it. Give us your answer, because I'm just going to tell you my perspective on it. And sometimes on this Ask a Man segment, we'll get some other perspectives as well. But for the most part, I'm just going to answer your questions. And like I said, this is all about the questions that we all have, that we all need to ask somebody. So the first question comes from Chris Gilbert, who wants to know, is chivalry dead? He asked this question kind of afterwards, and it's kind of related. What happened to the days that were taught where we did take care of women? And yeah, I'm going to say it's as dead as you want it to be. You know, it's really easy to look at what's happening in society, and we see things breaking down, and we see things falling apart, and we see the ways that we were raised and the things that we were taught not seeming to apply anymore. And then we get frustrated and longing for the good old days, right? When everybody thought the way we did, or at least as far as we knew. So first of all, I don't think chivalry is dead. I think that culturally we still do respect women. I think there are loud, obnoxious people who get all of the media attention lately who maybe have some different perspectives on that. But for the most part, I think our culture still has a degree of respect. Regardless of that, though, regardless of what culture is doing, and this is where it really comes down to the wire, guys, regardless of what everybody else in the world is doing, is this right? Is this good? for a man to show respect and honor to a woman and to help take care of her? Yeah, I do think that's right. I also think that there are some things about the way chivalry was practiced in the past that assumed that women can't take care of themselves, or that assumed that women are weaker, right? And I think that some of those ideas need to change, okay? I think that we have to understand that just because she's a woman and I'm a man doesn't make me somehow better than her. I may genetically, typically be stronger than her, although as strong as I am, I know some women that are tougher than me, right? But for the most part, we have some genetic differences between male and female. I get that. And so I think, to quote Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility. So if you're stronger, then you should take care of those who might be physically a little bit less strong than you. So I do think that that is an imperative, and I think that's part of being a man. But I also think it's important that we also have that level of not only honor, but also respect, where we also allow women to make their choices and allow women to have the freedom that they deserve. And just because you're a man doesn't give you any special privileges. What it does is gives you more responsibility. And that is how we need to approach chivalry, where it's our responsibility to look after people who are less strong than ourselves. And in the process of seeing that, that doesn't mean that they're less of a person or less valuable or less honorable than ourselves. And I don't think chivalry's dead, but I think that I have to look at it in my own life. Do I show honor to my wife? Do I show honor to my daughters and my granddaughters? Do I show honor to the people around me, men and women? Do I treat them with honor and respect? That's what I think the code of chivalry was always meant to be, to show something honor. Now, the word honor really comes from the idea of to value things rightly. You know, do I treat something as valuable when it is? Do I treat another human life as valuable? Because I should. And I think that's really the heart of what chivalry was always meant to be. So no, Chris, I don't think chivalry is dead. I don't think it's dead. I think it's just, we have a culture that in the process of trying to rearrange things and make sure that they maybe even address some wrongs from the past, I think they have just, the culture itself doesn't honor or value things the same way that you do or that I do. And regardless of how the culture values it, I know how I'm going to value it. And I'm just going to keep doing that. And I'll teach my sons to do that. And still, I mean, even my daughters, I teach them to honor and respect people, right? Like, that's really what the code of chivalry was meant to be. I think somewhere along the lines, it just turned into a little bit of, I think there was honestly some misogyny in there, right? I think there were some men who felt like it was their responsibility to subjugate women, right? And so they used that code of chivalry instead of to honor, to keep down. And I think that's what we have to look out for, is to make sure that when we're honoring women, that we're actually lifting them up. And I think that's really what chivalry is supposed to mean. Justin Willoughby, my buddy Justin, you guys all know Justin. He's been on the podcast before. One of my best friends. This dude used to weigh 799 pounds and lost 600 pounds. And he's an amazing man. I miss him. He lives out in Texas, so I don't get to talk to him as much as I want. But he asked the question, what separates men from boys? First of all, I think that the first delineator, right, between the first definition of a man is a biological man. You know, a biological male, and then that he is also an adult. I think that that's really the key, is a man is an adult. Now, some people like to kind of view that a little bit younger than the legal definition of an adult. You know, maybe when a boy kind of enters into physically that place, right? When he hits puberty, he starts, his growth spurts, and he is now physically as strong as a man. I tend to define manhood as in process until a man becomes a legal adult. I think it's important that we have that milestone of 18 years old. I think that matters, but that's my opinion of it. Because I'll tell you what, I've known some young men. Young men is how I would classify those other men. Not fully men, but young men who would be, you know, between maybe that ages of like 14 and 18, who are living according to the values and responsibilities and principles that they have set for themselves and that their parents have set for them, or that they know are the right things to do, that are embracing that fully. you know, there are definitely some of those that I know that are maybe even more manly than some of the grown men I know. But I think the thing that separates them, first of all, yes, there's age, there's physical maturity, there's emotional maturity, but I think the biggest factor that separates a man from a boy is his responsibility to take care of himself. And that's why I think we see a lot of grown young men who are still operating as boys, because they haven't taken the responsibility to take care of themselves and to take care of others. I think that's really the line. But I don't think that it's always a threshold that you cross. You know, I know with my sons, when they turned 18, I tried to give them, you know, kind of a rite of passage where they were able to embrace that identity as a man. You know, I said, all right, from this point forward, you are responsible for your decisions and you are a man now. And, you know, I tried to do that for both of them when they turned 18. But I also know that, you know, your brain isn't fully formed until you're 25. And so, you know, their decisions are not always the most manly decisions. They're still the same kind of decisions that I made when I was their age, and whether good or bad. And, you know, I do consider them as men, but I know that there are still parts of boyhood in them. Heck, I'm 46, and sometimes I still act in a way that is contrary to the way a man should act, that is more like a boy. You know, so I think that line is not necessarily like, oh, I've crossed the line and now I'm a man. I think we do need to have that moment that we understand when we look back and we you know, recognize that we're a man. I don't know that I felt it until I had my own kids, and then I felt a little bit more like a man. But the thing that separates you is definitely responsibility and your embracing of that responsibility. And I think as a parent, or a step-parent, or even just a mentor in a young man's life, your job is to help him to see that there is a responsibility that he needs to accept in his own life. And so you do that by giving him some responsibility when he's younger, so that he starts to learn that responsibility, and it can grow and it can build out from there. My buddy Sean says, the best Star Wars film, and why is it Empire Strike Back? Empire Strikes Back. Okay, first of all, I love Star Wars. I'm wearing my Star Wars shirt today. If you're watching on the video, you can see it. It's just a Star Wars logo on a gray t-shirt. But I love Star Wars. I've never seen a Star Wars that I didn't like. Now, I know Sean, and I know that he's a little bit of a purist when it comes to Star Wars. And I think he prefers the original trilogy, 4, 5, and 6, probably more than the others. And obviously, he prefers The Empire Strikes Back. I'm not going to lie, I like them all. I love them all, actually. Even the TV shows, even the latest trilogy, the ones with Rey and, you know, Palpatine comes back from the dead, and Snoke and Kylo Ren. I love those too. I really do. I love Ahsoka. I love the cartoons even. I'm not going to lie, man. Star Wars is my jam. I love it. It's mythology for a modern culture that harkens back to ancient mythologies that really echo human nature. And yeah, I think Star Wars is a great morality play, so to speak. It's something that it mirrors our battle between the good and the evil and the light and the dark in each of us. So Star Wars, what's the best Star Wars film? Yes. That's my answer to that question, man. And Charles says, how can we hold fast to manliness without being jerks? Well, first of all, don't be a jerk. Yeah, is that too simple? I don't think that to be manly means that you're a jerk. I think that that's a false dichotomy there. In fact, I think that being manly actually means, first of all, I do believe that there is a degree of strength and, you know, to quote Jordan Peterson, danger, you know, dangerousness that you should be, right? If you're a man, you need to be capable of great danger and violence. What? Is he saying we should be violent? No, I'm saying you need to be capable of protecting the people in your life. And that's not just a male thing. I'll be honest with you. I think women have that ability too. Females of all species. Look at what happens if you get between a mother bear and her cubs. That mother is capable of great violence to protect her baby bears, right? Her cubs. You know, the same with with males of every species, and especially human beings. I think that if you're a man, you have to be capable to be able to protect and defend the people in your life and yourself. However, that is not the defining feature of your life, because most of your life is, yes, that capability of that, but most of your life is you keeping those parts of your life in control. So the same thing with what you say, the same thing with what you speak, the same thing with how you behave, and the same thing with your attitude and how you think. You need to keep that ferocity that is inside you under control. I guess we could go back to our Star Wars question for that, right? I think it might, you know, there's some great lessons on that in the Star Wars universe. But aside from that, yeah, like, so I think that, you know, you can be strong and firm and unbending in your convictions and still be kind and gentle. I think that it speaks a lot more to your power as a man if you can be strong enough to rip someone's face off, but you don't. And I think that that is really the balance that we need to walk in as men, is people know not to mess with you or the people in your life because of what you're capable of doing. There's a degree of respect, a healthy fear of you. But that doesn't mean that you are a jerk. And it shouldn't mean that you are a jerk. You should treat everyone with respect and honor, even if you completely disagree with them. You know, if I were to sit down in a room with somebody that I vastly disagree with and actually have, I don't respect, a person who I don't respect, let's say maybe the current president of the United States of America, if we were to sit down at a table, I do not have respect for him. I don't agree with him, but I will treat him with respect, whether or not I think he deserves it, or whether or not I feel like it. I'm going to be respectful, because that's the way I should behave. I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to try to believe the best, and I'm going to have a good conversation. I'm going to listen. I'm not going to say, I hate you, you're horrible, you know, and then hold up my big FJB sign, you know, let's go Brandon sign. You know, I don't think that that's helping him, right? I don't think that's helping him mature if I just come in as a jerk. Now, you know, let's say it's a terrorist, right, who's invaded my country and is coming into my house to steal my stuff, to take my family, to you know, hurt the people I love. That is where that respect gets put away, and you show up and you man up and you fight like hell to protect. I don't think that makes you a jerk. I think that makes you a good man. And knowing the difference of when it's appropriate to express that ferocity is really part of what makes a good man. Casey asks, how do you balance being a man with being vulnerable without negatively impacting your own mental health? Great question, Casey. I think that what we need to do is we need to recognize again, being a man can look different from one man to the next, right? Being a man doesn't mean that you're tough all the time. I think being a man is actually more about recognizing and understanding your weaknesses, vulnerabilities, so to speak. I've talked about this a lot. I'm not a fan of the word vulnerable. You know, my dog, when she sees me coming, will lay down and roll over and show me her underbelly and her throat, because she's saying to me, I am going to submit to you, and I want you to know that I respect you and you could kill me. Because that's the only reason dogs would show each other, you know, their bellies and their necks like that when they roll over to do that. They do that because, not because they want their belly rubbed, they do that because they recognize it's a sign of submission to a higher power, a higher authority. And, you know, she's showing me, listen, I respect you, I know you're the top dog, right? I don't do that to just random people. You know, I don't just say, here's my weakest, the weakest parts of me. Here's the parts of me that if you hit them, it'll kill me. That's vulnerability. Now, I get it. I get it. Vulnerability is one of those things that has definitions and connotations. And so we have clear definitions of what vulnerability is, and we have the connotations. The connotation that I get from vulnerability is that. I would say this. You don't have to show everybody your weaknesses. But you do have to show some people your weaknesses. You need to have people in your life that are trustworthy, that have proven themselves trustworthy, that you're willing to trust and expose those parts of your life that are weak. And if you don't have anybody that you can talk to about those areas that you are weak, then those weaknesses will just continue. And they'll continue to be that way. And you don't have anybody protecting those areas for you. So I think it's important that with the right people in your life, you're vulnerable. Even though I don't like the word. The concept. I get it. Especially with, you know, your spouse. Your spouse should be like all about helping you overcome these things and be aware of the things that hurt you and to not deliberately hurt those places in you. You need to be open and real with how you're feeling or what you're struggling with your spouse or with a best friend or two or a counselor, you know, a therapist. You need to be open in those places. And I think where men really struggle is that we struggle to know who we can trust, who we can confide in. And I don't think that it's less manly to trust somebody. Here's the worst case scenario. You trust somebody and then they let you down. Okay, lesson learned. That was the wrong kind of person to trust, and now I'll learn who to trust a little better. So I do think that we have to trust people. We have to be authentic and be who we truly are. You don't have to hide your weaknesses, okay? I'll tell you that right now. You don't have to hide your weaknesses from the world. You can be real about your struggles with people. However, you can also be a little bit guarded with who you share what with. And I think that is really the balance that you've got to find. So I don't think the balance is between being a man and being vulnerable. The balance is being authentic and truthful and honest, but also knowing that you can't always tell everybody everything. And I think that's really the balance here. And you kind of said without negatively impacting your own mental health. That's the other end of this, because it's kind of a separate question. If you want to positively impact your mental health, what things would you do? How would you take care of yourself? How would you make sure that you're mentally healthy? If you do those things, then the other things, those other things that we talked about being a man and being vulnerable in that struggle, it doesn't impact your mental health so much if you are doing the things, you know, it doesn't have that negative impact if you're working on the things that positively impact it. And I think that's really the breakdown here, is that you want to make sure that you are working towards becoming healthy mentally. And I can understand this because, you know, let's say you're going to be vulnerable and you're going to share your weakness with somebody. Well, what happens is then you feel shame for your weakness. And that shame then makes you feel, you know, get you in your own head, right? And you start thinking about things that you probably shouldn't think about. And you start downing yourself and putting yourself down. You start getting anxious or afraid, or you start getting depressed, right? I'm thinking that's where you're going with this, and I can see that. You know, especially when that person that you trusted and you were vulnerable with them, especially if they let you down. That's the thing. You've got to make sure you take good care of yourself. Take a walk every day. Spend some time, you know, if not daily, at least weekly, doing something that makes you feel recharged. Get around some people in your life who build you up, right? Spend some time, you know, in prayer or meditation or reading, something that builds you up daily. And you do those things. And then you're going to be strong enough, maybe, that some of those other thoughts don't have a place to take root. And the other end of it is if you find yourself in a spot where you keep going back to those things, maybe there's something more going on in your life and you need to sit down with a counselor or a therapist, or maybe you need some medication to help you treat those symptoms. You know, I'm not a big, like, prescribe a pill for everything guy. I think that we prescribe way too many pills for things that we don't need to. However, if you're having trouble and you can't get the symptoms under control, there's nothing wrong with that if it's helping you. But you've got to take care of your mental health so that when you are real with people, you don't feel the shame and the anxiety and the struggle. That's my advice for you, Casey. I hope that helps.
This is the Manly Hood Mancast.
Oh, I've got another question, and I want to break this down again later. Why do we have a sexual thought every 5 minutes? What do we do with this? Yeah, I think every 5 minutes might be even generous. And what do we do with this? Well, first of all, knowing you, I know that you're a younger man than I am. And when I was younger, I think I thought about it a lot more than I do now that I'm a little bit older. So if that encourages you, it gets a little better. The other thing that you've got to do is, you know, channel those thoughts in the right direction. You know, I believe that sex should be reserved for a husband and a wife. That's my belief. That's my conviction. And so as I talk about it, that's the framework that I view the world in. And if you need to take that and interpret that differently, I'll let that be between you and the one who designed you. Okay. That's not between you and me. That's just between you and the one who designed you. You can work that out there. But I believe that that's how it's supposed to work. So I think what you need to do is you need to channel those sexual thoughts towards your spouse, right? I think that's the healthiest way to do it if you have a spouse. If you don't have a spouse, then you need to learn to kind of keep it at bay, because what happens is the thought that pops in your head is not the wrong thought. It's what you do with that thought. You know, the thought pops in your head, you're like, oh, I just had a sexual thought. If you keep it going, then you're feeding it, and you're feeding a beast in your brain, and that's going to get out of control really fast. And then you find yourself in a situation where you don't have control anymore, and you make bad decisions that end up hurting yourself and hurting others. So don't feed the beast. You want to fight the beast, which is a great resource, by the way, for anybody that's struggling with that. The fightthebeast.org, great organization if you need some help fighting some of the sexual stuff. And I know that my buddy Cass answered that question a little bit and said he'd actually like to get on here and talk to me about it. So maybe we'll have a future episode where we break that down with Cass. And I think that could be pretty cool. Guys, there's a ton of great questions that showed up in the thread for this Ask a Man segment. I did not get to all of them. So I want to encourage you, hop into the Manlyhood Man Cave, and you can answer those questions that the other guys have asked. You can ask your own questions. We can keep it going. And then the next time that we do an Ask a Man segment on the Manlyhood Mancast, we'll have some more questions for you. If you want to ask those questions anonymously, completely anonymously, there's a feature in the group to ask anonymous questions, or you can go to manlyhood.com/ask, and you can send those questions there as well, and they will remain anonymous. You know, hopefully I didn't betray anybody's confidence when I answered these questions. I'm pretty sure I didn't. I think I was careful enough. I didn't make anybody feel bad or uncomfortable. But I just want you guys to know this. It's okay to have questions, and it's good to ask them. I think it gives us a chance to really, really seek answers from somebody other than ourselves, because all of us is smarter than one of us. So don't be afraid to ask questions, guys. Hey, I really appreciate you guys tuning in to the Manlyhood Mancast. If you like this show, share it with somebody. If you are learning from it, leave us a rating and a review on Spotify or iTunes. And you know, if you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Let's share this with people, get the word out there. Anyway, I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you engaging with the work we're doing here in this movement at Manlyhood. I love you. I'm proud of you. And I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Ask a Man on the Manlyhood Mancast. Please help us out with a like, comment, and a share. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more. And send us your questions to manlyhood.com/ask.